Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and in the school today we're going to have our special feature where we read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, the Rock Cliff Review is the bulletin that we pass out to those who attend the Sunday morning worship service at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And in that bulletin, the feature article has something to do with the sermon that is about to be preached. And so the title of that article for this particular Sunday is, I Would Believe If. Let me read that to you. If you hear someone say, I would believe if, then remember how Jesus said, there shall no sign be given to this generation, Mark 8 and verse 12. Verily, in Matthew's account, Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, Matthew 16:4. The problem is not in asking for evidence. The problem is in asking for more evidence after abundant and sufficient evidence has been rejected. Jesus had been in the region of Decapolis, and a multitude of Gentiles had followed him to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Some of them had not eaten for 3 days. Jesus had compassion on them. He did not want to leave them hungry lest they faint on the way to their own houses. His disciples had but 7 loaves and a few fishes. Jesus commanded the people to sit on the ground, and Jesus took the loaves and fishes and gave thanks and set them before the people. That hungry multitude ate until they were filled. They took up 7 hamper-size baskets of uneaten provisions, and 4,000 men were fed. Mark 8, verses 1 through 9. Matthew adds, besides women and children. Matthew 15:38. This is a similar miracle to the one Jesus in which he had fed a multitude of Jews that had followed him out of Capernaum, Mark 6:36-44. At that time, 5,000 men were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The leftovers were gathered into 12 hand baskets, and they were sitting on the green grass in the early springtime, rather than on the ground in the late dry summer. It is certain that these are 2 separate events, for Jesus spoke of them together in Mark 8, verses 19 through 20. Jesus left those Gentiles on the eastern shore of Galilee and traveled by ship to the village of Dalmatha on the west coast. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking a sign from heaven, tempting him, Mark 8 and verse 11. Note the contrast between the eager Gentiles who had followed Jesus without food and these challenging Pharisees. Jesus noticed this and sighed deeply in his spirit, Mark 8 and verse 12. Jesus has already provided many signs in Galilee. He had cast out devils, and they accused him of being a prince of the devils, Mark 3:22. They had hardened their hearts against signs. Jesus told them that he had no signs for them and departed. Once on their way in the ship, Jesus said to his disciples, take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Herodians, Mark 8:15. Leaven was used to make bread. A little leaven was all that was needed. All leaven was not the same. Bad leaven would spoil the bread. The disciples took Jesus literally and thought Jesus had said this to them because they had no bread. They had been with Jesus long enough to know how he taught, and they should have perceived that he was speaking of something spiritual. Jesus said, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Mark 8, 17-18. He reminded them of the 5,000 fed with 12 baskets of leftovers, and of the 4,000 with 7 baskets of leftovers. And he said to them, how is it that you do not understand, Mark 8 and verse 21? They too needed to heed and beware of the leaven of skepticism. With mocking unbelief, we live among those who would challenge our faith with unreasonable demands. They say they need proof, but they reject the proof that is given. Do they want proof? He rose from the dead. We have the testimonies of the witnesses. Examine the evidence. That is proof enough. Matthew tells us that Jesus told those Pharisees, "No sign shall be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas," Matthew 6 and verse 4. In the story of Lazarus, the rich man was told, "Neither shall they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Well, that's the gist of the sermon that was preached that morning at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. I read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now with that, we want to return to the regular lessons that we've been having, and we've been studying about Jesus, the life of Jesus, and a harmony of the Gospels. And we're talking about his transfiguration on that mountain that we read about in Matthew 17, 1 through 8, Mark 9, 2 through 8, and Luke 9, 28 through 36. And we're working through the passage as it is given to us in Luke. And let me read again to you from Luke chapter 9, beginning verse 28. And I'll read to verse 32, and then we'll return to Elam's notes. In Luke 9:28, we read, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, that he took with him Peter and John and James, and went up into the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became white and dazzling. And behold, there talked with him two men who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him." We read that the three apostles, this is in Elam's notes, and by the way, these are notes he prepared by the Sunday schools of November 23rd, 1924. Elam writes, "The three apostles were heavy with sleep." Well, this took place in the night. "They climbed to the mountain in the evening before, and were up through the night engaged in prayer, and were overcome with sleep as in the garden. Moses and Elijah came, and Jesus was transfigured while the disciples were thus heavy with sleep. And when they were full awake," that's when they had succeeded in driving sleep back, "they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him." It must have been just before daylight. We read in Luke 9 and verse 33, "And it came to pass, as they were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said." It says they were departing from him. That means they were leaving. That's when Peter made his proposition. He would detain them. The visitation was too brief. It was good to be in such company. It increased their faith and enlarged their conceptions of Jesus, his work, and the glorified state of the redeemed. It must have produced a reaction from the shock and gloom they experienced a few days previous when Jesus announced that he must suffer and die at Jerusalem. By tabernacle, Peter meant booths made of the boughs of trees, as in the Feast of Tabernacles. He would make one for each and have them remain. He did not know or realize what he said, for they became sore afraid and seemed confused and lost in wonder and delight. And now we are going to understand the chief significance of the Transfiguration. Luke 9 and verse 34. It says, "And while he said these things, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud." Jesus made no reply to this proposition. That which followed was the reply. The request was not granted, but God gave a better answer to Peter's prayer. So will he give to ours. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and they entered into it. It was the representative of God's glory. He was in the cloud and veiled by it from their sight. They feared and were enveloped in this cloud. It must have been like the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night which attended the Israelites. And then we read in Luke 9 and verse 35, "A voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my Son, my chosen. Hear ye him.'" That was the voice of God saying this. Or as our golden text says, "This is my Son, my chosen." It was a repetition of the testimony God had borne to Jesus on the banks of the Jordan. But here God adds, "Hear ye him." This is the chief significance of the whole affair. They had heard Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. Now they must hear Jesus. If the world had heard truly Moses and the prophets, it would have been ready to receive Jesus. The Mosaic dispensation was ending. Jesus must be heard. Jesus fulfilled the law in a double sense. He kept every precept of it in spotless perfection. He also was the end of that to which the law led. We read in Galatians 3:24 that it was added because of transgressions until Christ should come. In Galatians 3:19, in his death on the cross at Jerusalem, Jesus took that old law out of the way. Having arisen from the dead, he established his kingdom, which Daniel said in Daniel 2:44 would stand forever. Jesus is the prophet and lawgiver now. He's the one who speaks from heaven. He is the mediator of the new covenant. To hear him is to hear God. Hear ye him. And so we read in the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 36, "When the voice came, Jesus was found alone, and they held their peace, and told no man in those days of any of the things which they had seen." Matthew 17:6 says that when they heard the voice, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They were all stricken at the voice and the presence of God and hid their eyes from his sight. Jesus kindly went to them, gently touched them, and lovingly bade them arise. And lifting up their eyes, he saw no one save Jesus only. Matthew 17:8. All had gone, and Jesus returned to his natural appearance. They told no one these things, because Jesus said, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead." Matthew 17:9. They did not yet understand what this vision meant and what rising from the dead meant. After Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he sent down the Holy Spirit upon them. They understood clearly everything Jesus had done and taught. Then they told it to everybody. From them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded the Transfiguration and learned it. Peter delighted to refer to it. It made a lasting impression on him. He understood its import. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty.